Yiraisa.
Today's Amud is Sukkah Hey Amud Aleph. We're holding a Dalet Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, by the two dots. So we mentioned in the Mishnah back on Beis Amud Aleph that V'she'ena Gavaya Asar Tfachim, so that a Sukkah that is less than 10 Tfachim tall, so the Sukkah is possible. Meaning if there's less than 10 Tfachim from the ground until where the Schach begins, so then the Sukkah is possible. So says the Gemara Minala, what's the Makar for this, that the Sukkah needs to be 10 Tfachim tall? Says the Gemara, Idmar, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu, all of them taught. Now before the Gemara says what they said, so the Gemara just tells us parenthetically that Bekula Seder Mayed, that in, throughout the entire Seder Mayed, Kol Kiai Zuga, anytime we have this list of Amorayim, so Chalufei, Rabbi Yochanan, Umayli, Rabbi Yoinasan. So Rashi explains is that some say you're supposed to change, take out Rabbi Yochanan, and instead, in this place, to insert Rabbi Yoinasan. That's what some learn. Others keep it as Rabbi Yochanan. But Al Kopanim, this list of Amoraim, they all explain that the Makar for this, that the Sukkah needs to be 10 Tfachim tall, is from the Arain. It says, Arain Tisha v'chapayras Tefach. They explained that we know that the Arain Kodesh was 9 Tfachim tall. The Torah describes it as being an Amma and a half tall, which an Amma and a half, each Amma is 6 Tfachim. So an Amma and a half is 9 Tfachim. V'chapayras Tefach, and the Kapayras, the covering, the one on top of the Arain Kodesh, that was another tefach. The Gemara will prove that later. So that it's a total of 10 tefachim tall. Harei kan asar, so that's a total of 10 tefachim. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, v'nayati l'cha sham, v'dibarti itcha me'al kapayras. Hashem says, I'm going to speak to you, I'm going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the kapayras. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, that Rabbi Yossi explained, mi'aylam lo'yard d'shchina lamata, meaning lamata me'asara, that the shchina never went less than 10 tefachim, within 10 tefachim from the ground. And that Moshe and Eliyahu and Navi, they never went to the Shemayim. Shemayim, as the pasuk says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem. Shemayim is for Hashem. Va'aretz nasan lifnei Adam, and an aretz was given to man. Hashem doesn't go to the aretz within 10 tefachim. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu, even when they went up, as the Gemara is going to shortly bring psukim that describe that Moshe and Eliyahu, they went close, but they never mamish went to Shemayim. So what's the raya? So Rashi explains that what we see from this Gemara is that you see that 10 tefachim, it says Hashem never went within 10 tefachim from the ground. So you see that 10 tefachim is considered a mechitza, that's considered like a separate rishus. So too the schach, it can't be within 10 tefachim from the ground. It has to be, that's like it's on the ground. It has to be 10 tefachim up. So that's the makar, that a sukkah needs to be at least 10 tefachim tall. But now once we mention this idea, this braisa of Rabbi Yossi, so the Gemara is just going to question it. So says the Gemara, v'lo yard d'shchina lamato, is that really true that the shchina never went within 10 tefachim of the ground? V'aksiv, but the pasuk says, v'geyred Hashem al Har Sinai, it says that Hashem went on to Har Sinai. So Har Sinai is considered aretz. So you see Hashem went to the aretz. Says the Gemara, no, lamala me'asar tefachim. He didn't literally go on Har Sinai. None of this is really literal. Hashem's not physical. But, it doesn't mean that the Shechina went on to Har Sinai Mamish. It means above 10 Tfachim. Again, whatever that really means. Obviously Hashem is everywhere, the Shechina is everywhere, but there's a certain extra level of Ashras HaShechina that came down. It didn't Mamish come down on to Har Sinai. It came above 10 Tfachim from the Har. Affect the Gemara Vaksiv Amdu Raglov Bayoimahu Al Harizim. It says regarding Lasa Lavoy that the feet kaviyachol of the Shechina are gonna go on that day on Harizim. So that's really mashma that it's literal. It says that his feet are gonna go on to Harizim. Says the Gemara, no, also this we could be madcha and we could say that Lamala me'asar tefachim. That it really means above 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim off the ground of Harizim. Says the Gemara, v'liyalu, Maisha v'liyahu l'marayim, is that really true? That Maisha and Eliyahu, they never went l'marayim, vaksiv, but the pasuk says, u'maisha Allah al-alalukim, it says that Maisha b'nu went up to Hashem. Says the Gemara, same as before, lamata me'asara, that it means he didn't go within 10 tefachim, he went 10 tefachim away, less than 10 tefachim from Hashem. Ah, vaksiv, v'yal Eliyahu b'sara ha'shamayim. So that's really mashma that he went all the way to Shemayim. It says that Eliyahu Navi went up to Shemayim. It's mashma all the way. Says the Gemara, no, even this, we could be madcha that lamata me'asara, he didn't go within the 10 tefachim of Shemayim, he was at least 10 tefachim away. Afrekt the Gemara v'aksiv, but the pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Kabbalah Satira, it says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu ma'aches pnei kisei parshes olav ananov, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to hold on to the kisei akavod, and that he would spread over his cloud over him. Va'amar, this is when the malachim were arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu that he shouldn't take the Torah. So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to hold on to the kisei akavod, like we learned in Misach HaShavis. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was all the way up there; he was holding on to the kisei akavod. It says the Gemara, va'amar Tanchum alamid shapiri shakai miziv shchinasay vananu olav. It vananav olav. It says that he explained the pasuk to be saying that Hashem spread his shchina and his cloud of glory over him on top of Maishra. Says the Gemara, no, that also means lamata me'asara. It means not within the ten tefachim of Marim. Afrak the Gemara mikol makom ma'aches pnei kisei ksev. But it says that Maishra Rabbeinu was holding on to the kisei akavod. So how could you say that that's not within ten tefachim? Says the Gemara, Ishtarvuve Ishtarviv Lekisei Adasara Vanakitbei. Hashem Kaviyachol lowered his kisei at least ten tefachim away from the Shemayim, and it's over there that Moshe Rabbeinu held on to the kisei akavod. So still, no one ever actually went lamarim, and Hashem never went mamish laaretz. Fine. So now we clarify that part. Now still, again, so this was all, the Gemara brought all of this just to say a makar for how do we know a sukkah must be at least 10 tefachim tall. Just once we mentioned this makar, so the Gemara is just going into the different details of what the Gemara mentioned. So first we went into this, the idea that the Shechina never goes to the Aretz and that Bnei Adam never go to the Shemayim. Now the Gemara is going to focus on a different detail, that this whole makar was predicated on the fact that the Kapires was 10 tefachim tall, and that that's the place where the Shechina started. It doesn't go lower than there, because the Aron Kodesh was 9 tefachim tall, and the Kapires was another tefach. So says the Gemara, Bishlama Aron Tisha, I understand that the Aron Kodesh was 9 tefachim tall, that we see from the Psukim. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, V'asu Aron Atzei Shitim, Amasayim V'chatzi Arkoi, V'ama V'chatzi Rachvoi. It says that it should be 2.5 tefachim long, and an Ama and a half wide, va'ama v'chetzi kaimasa, in another ama and a half tall. So you see that the height of the Aron Kodesh was an ama and a half. An ama and a half is 9 tefachim. Each ama is 6 tefachim. Ama and a half would then be 6 and 3 is 9 tefachim. So that makes sense. That we see from the pasuk. El kapires tefach minalan. But who said that the height of the kapires, the height of the thickness of the kapires was a tefach? So says the Gemara, the Tani Rabbi Chanina, Kol HaKelim Sha'asa Maisha Nasna Ben Torah Midas Arkan Midas Rachvan Midas Kaimasa. So explains the Gemara that Rabbi Chanina taught that if you look in the Psukim, so all the various Kelim in the Mishkan, so the Torah tells us exactly how wide, how tall, how long. It tells us all the details of their measurements. However, Kapires Midas Arko Midas Rachvan Nasna, if you look in the Torah, it does say the length and it does say the width. It was 1.5 amma by 1.5 amma. However, midas kaimasa loy nasna, but it doesn't tell us ever how tall to make it. It tells us how long and how wide it should be, that it goes over the Aron Kodesh, an amma and a half by an amma and a half, but it doesn't say how tall to make it. So said Rabbi Chanina, tzeo man mi pachay shebekelim. So this is a klal that we're always supposed to learn, sasam in amafurish. Here it's sasam, the Torah is sasam, it doesn't tell us how tall to make the kapiris. So we should learn out by something, by a different kli that it's mafurish. So which kli do we learn it out from? We learn it out from the kli that's the smallest, as the Gemara will explain later why. So we have to now go look for a kli that's the smallest kli that we can find, and that must be that that's supposed to be the height of the kapiresh. And so what is that? That's going to be a tefach. Shenem, as the pasuk says, which kli is this that's a tefach tall? The pasuk says va'asisa le'misgeres tefach saviv. It says about the shulchan that you're supposed to make for it a miskeres, a border, and it's a tefach all around. So the being that this is the smallest kli that we could find is the miskeres of the shulchan, which was a tefach tall. So maluholan tefach avkan tefach. So just like over there it was a tefach, so too the height of the kapires must also be a tefach. Frak the Gemara v'nelef mikelim gufayu. Why don't we learn out from the kli itself, from the shulchan itself, or from kelim itself that are larger? Who said to learn out from just this chiluk of the shulchan, which is the smallest kli? Maybe we should learn out from much taller kelim. Mikelim gufayu, meaning from taller kelim. So says the Gemara, tafasta meruba like tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. A klal which already occurred a few times that we've had, that you always, there's a klal that you're supposed to, when the Torah says something, and there's two ways to interpret it, either but with a larger shear or a smaller shear, So the klal is, you're always supposed to assume the smaller shear. And therefore, if the Torah doesn't tell us how tall the kapayrus is supposed to be, now we have options. We can learn it out from this kli, from that kli. You're supposed to go to the smallest one. Tafasta mua tafasta. You're supposed to take the smallest one. And therefore, that's why we learn it out from the misgeres of the shulchan, which is only a tefach tall. Ask the Gemara, we have a smaller kli. V'nelef mitzitz. Why don't we learn it out from the tzitz, which was even smaller than the miskeres? The tzitz was the gold headplate that the Kohen Gadol would wear. The Tani, we learned in the Braisa regarding the tzitz, that tzitz doime kimin tas shel zav, it was like a bar of gold, v'rachav beiz etzbois, it was two etzbois wide, meaning the height of it was two etzbois, from top to bottom. So that's obviously much smaller than a tefach. It's half a tefach. So it was two etzbois wide, meaning tall. Umukov ma'izen la'izen. It went all the way from one ear to the other ear of the Kohen Gadol. The kasav alav, and it was written on this tzitz, on this gold head plate. It said beishit, and then it had two rows, and it was yud. And then a hay milamailo, and the kodesh lamin milamato, it had a yud and a hay on top, and it had which really had yud kei vav kei, we'll talk about that more soon. So it had Hashem's name on the top line, and it had kodesh lamin on the bottom line, so really it was spelling out kodesh Hashem, which we'll get back to this point once we finish Lamud. So it says the kodesh lamin milamato. What are you talking about that it had two lines? I one time was in Rome and I saw the tzitz. Like we had in Meseches Yuma that Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yaisi made his way to Rome. Over there we mentioned that he saw the pareichas. Here now the Gemara is saying that when he was in Rome, he saw the tzitz and he said that because of Allah, Kodesh Lashem, B'shita Achas. It said the whole phrase, Kodesh Lashem, all in one line. But Al Kapanim, the point is that you see from here that the tzitz was only two etzba'is tall, which is half a tefach. So, if going with the rule of tefasta mua tefasta, why do we say to learn out the pareiches from the miskeres ha-shulchan? That the kapayres is a tefach tall, really we should learn out the kapayres from the tzitz, that should only be two etzbois tall. So says the Gemara, no, there's a reason why we dafka learn out from the miskeres and not from the tzitz. And that is that donen kli mikli. That it's better to learn out the kapayres from the miskeres because they're both kalim. V'ein donen kli mitachshin. And we don't learn out kalim from a tachshin. We don't learn out the kapayres from the tzitz, which besides being a kli, it was also a tachshin. It was a tachshin for the Kohen Gadol. And therefore it's not as similar to the kapayres. And therefore we learn out rather the kapayres from the miskeres. That's supposed to be a tefach tol. Okay, well, ask the Gemara, if you're looking for something which is not a takshin and it's just a kli, v'nelef mizer, why don't we learn out from the various crowns that they had on different kalim? Rashi brings, they had it on the Aron Kodesh, on the Mizbeach, on the Mizgeres, there was a zer. So, a zer also, it's not a takshin, it's just a kli. And the zer is smaller than a tefach. The Amar Mar's zer mashu, it was just a very small, had a very small height. So why don't we learn out from these crowns that were on these different kalim? That's less than a tefach. Says the Gemara, because done in kli mi kli, ve'ain done in kli mi hechsha kli. The misgeres was an actual kli, just like the kapayres. So therefore, it's more similar and it's more preferable to learn out the kapayres and the misgeres. But we're not going to learn out the height of the kapayres from the zer, which wasn't the kli by itself, it was just there to beautify the kalim. It was there to beautify the Aron Kodesh, to beautify the mizbeach, and to beautify the shulchan, the misgeres. But it wasn't the kli by itself. And therefore, it makes more sense to learn out the kapayres and the misgeres than to learn out the kapayres from the zer. Well, in fact, the Gemara, if you don't want to learn out something which is not a kli and it's just there to beautify, ihachi misgeres nami hechsha klihu. The misgeres itself, it was just there to beautify the shulchan. It wasn't a kli in and of itself. It was just there to beautify the shulchan. It was just a border by the shulchan. So how could you learn out the kapayres and the misgeres? Says the Gemara, no. Misgarta lamata haisa. These Amorayim held that the Kapayrus was a tefach, and we learn it out from the Misgeres, because they hold that the Misgeres was below the actual Shulchan, and it held up the Shulchan. It wasn't on top just as decoration. It was on bottom, and it held up the Shulchan. So it was actually a kli. Well, says the Gemara, Hanich leman de amr miskarta lamata isa. So that's good if you hold like that the miskeres went below the shulchan, and then you could say it's a kli, and that's the makar that the kapayrus is a tefach tol. El leman de amr miskarta lamala isa. But if you hold that the miskeres was on top and it's just a decoration, so ma'ikalam emar. So hayachsha klihu. So what are you going to say? It comes out it's just there to beautify. So how do we know that the kapayrus is a tefach tol? Says the Gemara, rather a different reason why we dafka learn out from the Miskeres. Eladon and davar shenasna ba teirish mida, midavar shenasna ba teirah mida, va'al yechichu tzitz v'zer, shaloi nasna ba teirah mida klal. The reason, new answer, the reason why we learn out the kapires from the Miskeres is because just like the kapires, and because both by the kapires and the Miskeres, the Torah told us about the shiurim of it. The Torah told us about the length and the width of the kapires. We just don't know the height. So it makes more sense to learn out from the Miskeres, which the Torah also specifies the shiurim of it, and not to learn it out from the tzitz or the zer, which we happen to have shiurim for it. The zer we said is a mashu, the tzitz we said is two tfachim. We'll discuss in a moment what the makar for that is, but it's not a shiur that's written in the Torah. So therefore it makes more sense to learn out sasam and a mefurish, to learn out the kapires from the miskeres, and therefore that's the makar. That's where we learn it out from, the height of the kapires, that the height of the kapires is a tefach tall. So now we'll stop here, but we'll just mention a few points. So first of all, the Gemara mentioned that on the tzitz, so it was engraved, according to the first shita, it was engraved a yud hey milamayla and kodesh lamin milamata. That's what the Gemara said. So Rashi in Masechta Shabbos on Samech Gimel Mem Beis explains that really what the tzitz was saying is kodesh lashem. Look how we're referring to the kain gadol, that the kain gadol is kodesh lashem. That's really what the tzitz is saying. So it comes out it was written upside down. So really it should have said kodesh lamin on the top line. But Rashi explains that that wouldn't be respectful. That if it's written on two different lines, so it's not respectful to have Kodesh Lamed on the top and then put the Shem Hashem on the bottom. The Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yaisi, he held those all one line. So it's fine within one line to have Kodesh Lashem, even though there are words that are written before Hashem's name. But to have Shem Hashem written on a lower line than Kodesh Lamed, that would be a bizayon, and therefore the Shem Hashem was written on the top line, and the Kodesh Lamed was written on the bottom line. Now, there's a machlekes amongst the Rishonim how exactly that was. The Ritva learns Kipshutai that it was the Shem Hashem on the top, and directly underneath it said Kodesh Lamed. So you didn't really, when you looked at it, it's not like you really necessarily read it as if it was saying Kodesh Hashem. That is what it was saying, even though you wouldn't typically read it like that. But the Ritva doesn't have a problem with it. He says that that's the way that tzitz looked. It had the Shem Hashem on the top, and then directly underneath it said Kodesh Lamed, which there's mashmais in the Yerushalmi like that, that's what the Yerushalmi seems to say. But Taisus over here, Taisus Dibur Maskil, Kodesh Lamed, Taisus is Chalik. He says it's not mistaber that it was written like that, because then it didn't read Kodesh Lashem. Rather, Taisus said that the Shem Hashem was written on the top left of the tzitz. If you were looking at the tzitz, it was on the top left, and Kodesh Lamed was written on the bottom right. So even though the Shem Hashem is written on top, if you're reading from right to left, so you could actually read it as Kodesh Lashem, because you read from right to left, the Kodesh Lamed was on the right. It was lower, but it was all the way on the right, and therefore you read it, it was read as Kodesh Lashem. Now, I think we mentioned that really it didn't say a Yud and a Hey, really it had the entire, all four letters of the Shem Hashem. It had Yud Kei Vav Kei. But Lamaisi, you're not allowed to say Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's why people say Yud Kei Vav Kei. You're not supposed to say a Yud and then a Hey and then a Vav and then a Hey, all four letters together. And therefore, when they would teach over what it said on the tzitz, they wouldn't say it as Yud and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey, because that would be a problem of saying Hashem's name. So therefore, when they would say over this memra, they say it over as just a Yud and the Hey, in order not to say the full Shem Hashem. But Taisus asks that really a Yud and a Hey is also a Shem of Hashem. A Yud and a Hey is also a Shem of Hashem. So Frek Taisus, how is it any better to have a Yud and a Hey? That's what the Taisus on the top asks. On Dibra Maskel, Yud and Hey Milamayla. So Taisus asks, why is this any better? So Taisus says that because over here, the Kavana isn't to say the Shem Yud and Hey. Here the Kavana is really Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud and Hey is just the shortened version of Yud Kei Vav Kei, so perhaps that's why it's not a problem. But Lamaisa Taisa says that really we're makbid to not spell out even any one of the Shemais of Hashem, even just to spell it out, to say it out, and with its letters, that we're knowing not to do. And that's why people have the minug when they say the Shem Hashem, they say, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's why they put in a K, because you're not allowed to say, with a Hey. You're not allowed to even speak out the letters of Hashem's name, the way they're supposed to be spoken. That you're not allowed to say. Now we'll just end off with an interesting discussion about foreheads. So Tesis, so we mentioned on the bottom that the tzitz and the zer, the Torah doesn't give a shear. So the zer makes sense. The Torah didn't give a shear. So therefore the shear is that it's a mashu. There is no shear. Just any, it can have any bit of height and that's okay. Where does the Gemara get it from though that the tzitz is supposed to be two tfachim? If the Torah doesn't say a shear for the tzitz, so where does this idea of that the tzitz is two tfachim come from? It's mashu, that's like a shear that's two tfachim tall. Where does that come from? So Tesis says that it's all midrabanan. Tesis says that the fact that the tzitz was two tfachim tall is a dindrabanan, and Tesis explains that the reason for that shear is because that's the average size of a person's forehead. The average forehead is two tfachim, and therefore they said that the tzitz, which goes by the forehead, should be two tfachim tall. That's what Tesis writes. However, I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Chachma in the beginning of Perek Tas of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash in the Bir Halacha over there. So he brings from the Sefer Bigdei Kahuna, who explains that really it doesn't seem to be true. The average sized forehead is larger than two tfachim, is larger than two etzba'is, sorry. It's larger than two etzba'is. The average forehead is seemingly is four etzba'is. If you take two etzba'is and you put it by your forehead, so your forehead's probably much larger than that. I went around in the Beis Medrash and I looked around and measured with my eyes. One person I put my hands on him, but for the most part I measured with my eyes, and it seems that's the way it is, that the average forehead is probably about four etzba'is, not two etzba'is like Taisa says. So Rav Chaim explains from the Sefer Bigdei Kahuna that what Taisa means when he says that the average forehead is two etzba'is, he doesn't really mean that the average, that's what most people have. He means that it's generally speaking, a forehead is not less than two etzba'is. The smallest of any normal forehead is not less than two etzba'is. That's what Taisus means to say. Which is interesting because I saw a Shaila brought down in Tshuvas Marsham. The Marsham in Chelek Beis in Tshuvas Marsham, Simon Reish Chafei, he was asked an interesting Shaila. There was a guy and a girl, they went out and on a date and they walked in the park, whatever it is, they got engaged. So they made the Tanayim, and afterwards the Chassan came, and he had two complaints. He wanted to call off the Shidduch. What were his two complaints? So the first complaint he said is that he realized now that the Kala, that she has a wooden leg, and he didn't like this, the fact that she had a wooden leg. She had a prosthetic wooden leg, and he was very disturbed by it, and he wanted to call off the Shidduch. But Lamaya said the father-in-law, the father of the Kala, was claiming that no, the Chassan's just making excuses because they went out and they went on a walk in the park together. How is it possible that they went on a walk in the park and he didn't realize that she had a prosthetic leg? That's impossible. It must be he's making excuses. Maybe he was trying to claim some of the money from the expenses from the Chassan because he didn't really have a good reason to break the Shidduch. And so that was the Shiloh that was brought to the Marsham. So over there, the Marsham brought a Raya that it is possible that he didn't notice that she had a prosthetic leg. It brings an interesting Raya from a Gemara. Tainas, perhaps we'll mention it when we get there. But the Chassan had a second Taina. What was the Chassan's second Taina? The second Taina that the Chassan had to break up the Shidduch was that he realized now that, you know, while they were going out, so the Kala wore these hats, and he was never able to see the size of her forehead. But now he realizes she took off the hat, and he sees that she has a very small forehead, and it was bothering him, that her forehead was too small. So that was the second Taina that he made to the father. And again, the father was saying that he's just making excuses. And Lamaisa, the Marsham, said about this Taina that the Kala has, that her forehead was too small. So he said two things. Says the Marsham, first of all, that's not a Taina. That's just not, we don't find anywhere that there's a mum of having too small of a forehead, and therefore that's not a Taina. But secondly, says the Marsham, that our Taisa says that the average size forehead is only two etzba'is. And Lamaisa, this Kala, even the Chassan wasn't claiming that it was less than two etzba'is. It was two etzba'is. So therefore, it's not below average. Taisa says that the average forehead is two etzba'is. So you see that her forehead wasn't too small. But just it's interesting because the fee what Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes, you see that that's not necessarily what Taisa is meant to say. Taisa wasn't necessarily saying that the average forehead is two tfachim. It could be two tfachim is considered small. Maybe you could still say that it's still within reason and therefore still not a taina. Either way, Lamaisa, you have the Marsham's first reasoning that it's just we don't find that there's a mum of having a small forehead and therefore that Lamaisa would for sure stand. Al Kabadim, that's what Taisa over here writes, that that's where the shear of the tzitz comes from, that the shear of the tzitz was two etzba'is.